Take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. That's going to be my text, but I'm going to read some verses prior to that. Pastor asked me a couple weeks ago or so to preach, and I had a message lined up, but then this being missions month, I told him I wanted to preach this message. And it's on the Great Commission. So let me read the Great Commission to you. For those of you that know, the Great Commission is given in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Different wording, but it's the same commission that the Lord gave the apostles just prior to his going back to heaven. It's our marching orders. It's our direction. It's what the church is all about. If this were not the primary thing, he would save us and take us to heaven. There'd be no purpose leaving us in this sin-cursed earth. But we are his witnesses. Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's a purpose. Some will be saved, some will be damned. There's a wide road that leads to destruction, narrow road that leads to heaven, and we're the ones that have the instructions on that narrow road. People have their ideas, their opinions, but they don't amount to a hill of beans. It's what thus saith the Lord. And God's given us that in his word. Luke 24, beginning 45. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scripture. And he said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance, remission of sins, should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's what we're doing right here. Next month's going to be about our Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till ye be endued with power from on high. The Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Why did Jesus come? He said, I am come to seek and to save that which is lost. Acts 1:7, the final one. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his power for the kingdom to come. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That's why we have Missions Month, is to cover our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and around the world. Now, if you would, stand with me and let's read Ephesians chapter 5. This is my text, beginning verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts tonight and challenge us. God, help us to ever be alert for that soul that you put in front of us, to give a word of testimony, to give a track, and occasionally, Lord, to be able to lead them to Jesus. What a privilege that is. And what you accomplished tonight, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You've all heard the saying, wake up and smell the coffee. And I've never been much of a coffee drinker until the last couple or three or four months when I've really, because I'm going in evangelism, I'm really digging into the scripture and reading books. And I love my coffee. That's the first thing I do in the morning, about 4 o'clock in the morning, sometimes 5. I go in and put my coffee on. I take my 13 pills with some tomato juice. And then I go back to my chair and drink my coffee. And I'm even getting now to where a second cup of coffee tastes really good. And so on. So wake up and smell the coffee. But I say wake up and see the lost. In verse 14 that I just read, it says, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest." You got to wake up and see the lost. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have no shortage of people to look for to give the gospel. The problem is we have a shortage of people that are willing to give the gospel. They're out there. I just happened to think of this. I think maybe I told you this illustration before, but when I was in Bible college and our personal evangelism book written by Robert Sumner had the story in it during the Civil War, and some young kid in the Confederate had been drafted into the army and they were out in battle and retreat sounded. Well, he had no idea what that meant. All of his buddies went back to camp, and they all got back there and said, oh, poor old Jim, didn't know what was going on. He's probably captured or dead by now. And all of a sudden, coming through the woods was Jim with 4 or 5 prisoners in front of him, and they said, oh, Jim, it's good to see you. How did you make it? Where did you get these guys? He said, the fields are full of them. Go out and get some. Amen. Well, the earth is full, and that's why we evangelize here in Jasonville and Hymera. Now, Hymera is a step up, but all around, we I see some eyes rolling. Okay, just consider the source. But there's a lot of lost people out there, amen? And they don't even know what their need is. They're just walking around like blind trees, bumping into each other. The devil's making it a very good life for them. We here in America, we have been blessed by God, yes. or we're cursed, because everything in this earth now, in our world here, has become our God, and we don't need God anymore. That's primarily I'm okay. I mean, I got a nice house, I got a good car, got money in my pocket, and so on. And that's true with us as well as the world. But if you know Christ, you have the right attitude towards that. They don't. I'm reading a lot now about Baptist history. And let me tell you something. And we're going to face it. It's coming to America. All this political stuff's going on. Within some of us, old gray heads, we'll probably be gone. But young guys, let me warn you. Young ladies, young adults, the day is coming you'll not be able to come in here and sit on a padded pew with a sound system. The day is going to come that if you're true to God, you're going to meet out in the woods or in somebody's attic away from an ungodly world that wants nothing to do but to kill us. And there have been more Baptists or Baptist-believing people killed than any other group. Catholics killed them. Calvinists killed them. Those that stayed true to the Word of God, they hate us, but they need us. They need us. So wake up and see the lost. Secondly, in verse 15, walk alertly. Walk alertly. Watchful on all sides. When you meet new people, do you think, are they saved or are they lost? Heaven their home or hell their home? Wait patiently, verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Give the Holy Spirit something to work with. Memorize scripture. Carry tracts. I'm going to be talking to you about that in just a moment. The wisdom of understanding, verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You'll not meet a sinner that God doesn't want to save. Not in this church, not in your hometown, not in your place of work. There's not one person ever been born that God did not want to save, and that the blood of Jesus Christ was effective enough to cleanse the whole world. But it's not automatic. So what I want to talk to you tonight is how to begin witnessing. Okay? And I just missed my first point. That's everything I just went through. Take time. Number one, you got to take time. We just talked about that. Number two, tote tracks. Why do you think all those tracks are on the rack out there? To look pretty? When I go to a new church that I'm visiting, one of the first things I do when I go in is look for their track rack so I can pick up some tracks and put in. I carry some from our church everywhere I go. But I like to have local ones because if I'm in Arizona, Florida, or whatever, I want a point of reference in their town. So I like to have tracks. Tote tracks. You may not always have a great opportunity to tell the whole gospel story. 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. We are planters. We are farmers of the most precious commodity this side of heaven, the souls of men. You may not even know what to say. That's why you carry tracts. If you're new in the faith and you've not been saved a long time and you don't know a whole lot about Scripture, you're scared to death. Young people, thank God for the training you're getting here, because most churches, even up to young adults, they have no idea how to even begin witnessing, how to open a conversation. And if somebody come up to them and said, what do I need to do to be saved? I mean, it would blow their mind. We've got the answer. It's right here. Thank God you can memorize Scripture. And thank God at my age, I can remember the Scriptures I had to memorize in Bible college. The ones I work on now, I've got to carry scrib notes with me. Amen. Some of you understand that. But I do know enough about Scripture and my Bible that if someone said, I want to be saved, I know how to tell them how to be saved. Amen. And you may not know yet, but if you do it a few times, it'll be like building blocks. And you lead somebody to the Lord, and you come back and say, preacher, guess what happened? I led my first soul to the Lord. You got to start somewhere. You're not going to start number 10, 15, 20. You got to start with number one. The best ability for all of us in here today is availability. Get God's word out everywhere you go. Carry tracts. When you're in line at the grocery store, when you're at restaurants. I like the ones we have back here about leaving a tip and things. I carry them with me. I forget the title of it. They're brown back there. But it says thank you. It's a thank you and I run out of them all the time because I use them. Now, be prepared. Don't leave scrimpy tips when you're at a restaurant. Anything over $10 or $15, I try to leave at least $4 or $5. I want to get their attention. I don't want them to think I'm a cheapskate. And God's going to give it back to you. You can't outgive God. So you may not even know how to do it, but you can always depend on the Lord to lead and to have the word to convict them. 2 Peter 3:9, Lord not slack concerning his promises, some count slackness, but is longsuffering to us, word not willing that any should perish. So first of all, take time. Secondly, tote tracts in your pocket. That's why God gave men shirt pockets, okay? And it's too tight for your cell phone. Put some tracts in it, okay? Number three, and this is a key to it, tell your testimony. The best gospel witness that anyone can have is a personal testimony. I just wrote this down. There's a song I hear on radio, gospel song. I remember the day I can take you to the place. It's a southern gospel song, and it's talking about the day I was born again. Do you know where you were and the circumstances when you got saved? Can you point back to a time and place? Pastor Jared talks about this all the time. A time and a place. At this point in your life backwards, you were lost. You got saved, and from that point, you're saved. You may not always have that confidence. You may have some doubt. But somewhere, there's something in your life that you can point back to and say, I remember the day I can take you to the place. And if you can't, you'll be miserable. Does it mean you're not saved? No. I think I was saved a long time before I realized I was saved. I think I was saved when I was pretty young, but I never knew it. I've told you about this over and over. 21 years old when Connie got serious about things with God and the preacher come to our house, and that night he dealt with me as a lost person because I thought I was lost. And I prayed and I accepted the Lord. That's my day I look back on. Amen. Tuesday night in November in 1966. I know the place and I know the time and I know the individuals that were there. Connie, myself, and Pastor Waldo Grandstaff. And I've never regretted it. Amen. Tell your testimony. Number one under that, rehearse how and when and why you got saved so that you solidify that in your mind and go back and relive that day. Was it here at the altar that you got saved? It's good if you can remember who dealt with you at the altar so you can go back and fellowship with them and rehearse again what took place. Is there nothing in your life that you can point to and say that was the time, that was the place? If you don't, I would be at an altar tonight with one of our counselors and say, I'm probably saved, but I want to know this time, this place, absolutely sure that when I walk out of here tonight, I know that I've got eternal life. I know that Jesus Christ came in to save me. That changed my life overnight. That confidence in Christ. You've been struggling in your life, do something about it. But for those of us that are saved, rehearse. Talk to each other about it. Practice on each other. Number two. When you're witnessing to someone, repeat it to the person, asking them if they understand. Quite often, I witness to someone, I've only got maybe a window of opportunity, and I hand them a tract, And I say, do you know you were going to heaven if you die right now? And usually if they don't, they hesitate. I said, let me tell you what happened to me. And about a minute, I give my testimony. I thought I was on my way to hell. I prayed the sinner's prayer 100,000 times, but nothing in my life changed. On Tuesday night in November 1966, a preacher came to my house. I prayed, put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I no longer thought I had to hold on to God, but I realized that night God's holding on to me, and my life changed. I mean, you can give that testimony in a minute's time. You may never see that person again, but that gives the Holy Spirit something to work with. Amen. Now, if you do have opportunity when you're giving your testimony, request that they pray and accept Christ. So rehearse your testimony, repeat it to the person again, and request that they pray and receive Jesus Christ. Take time, tote tracks, tell your testimony. And number four, I couldn't think of anything. Tabulate the tally. But I didn't like that. So number four, fruitful follow-up. Forget the T's, fruitful follow-up. When you go out and witness to someone, and after you've given them the gospel, if you have opportunity, you may never see that person again. Some sow, some water, God gives the increase. How many people have been saved here that had the gospel given to them in their home or in their place of work by someone like us, handing them a tract, giving them our testimony? So the fruitful follow-up, invite them to your church. All Christians ought to be in church. Amen. If you got married and sent your wife packing and said, well, I'll come and see you once a month, every 6 months, maybe on Easter and Christmas, wouldn't make for a very good marriage, would it? Doesn't make for a good relationship with the Lord. Said, put me first. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. If any man love anything else more than God, you got it out of whack. And we need to teach people that so that they know we're not just trying to increase our attendance. For crying out loud, if we wanted attendance, we could be a Joel Osteen church. And I mean, we'd be bulging out at the seams, but people are going to hell. Never want to be offended. Nobody to ever tell them they're a sinner. Nobody to ever tell them there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And there's a personal responsibility. Invite them to church. Invest time in their life. If you've led them to the Lord, you ought to be a good friend to them. Number three, instruct them in Scripture. Every opportunity that you get. That's why we need to memorize Scripture, because if you lead somebody to the Lord and they got a need, a spiritual need, who are they going to go to? They're going to come back to you. You may not be able to give it to them right off the spot, but you say, I've got a Bible. It's got an answer to that. This book's got the answer to every need that you and I have. Number one, take time. Number two, tote tracks. Number three, tell your testimony. Number four, have fruitful follow-up. I've got a plaque on my wall that I copied off the internet. I don't know who the guy said this, but I like it. Do the right thing until the right thing becomes the normal thing. It's hard to witness. It's not easy. You're fighting the devil. How to do it. Let me give you a way that I've learned. Pastor J.C. Joyner in Tucson, Arizona. Been a pastor at his church for over 50 years. Just a jovial type guy. And I go out to his church every year, every other year. But I'd go out to dinner with he and his wife, Jackie. And at the restaurant, when the waitress comes up, now most of the places they go, the waitresses already know them, but occasionally there's a new one come in. He'll take the track, usually the little track that says how to get to heaven from Arizona. But he'll start a conversation with him. He's very friendly. Says, young lady, young man, are you from here in Tucson? Yes, no, whatever. Usually, yes, I grew up here or whatever. Probably know your way around pretty well, don't you? Do you know where downtown is or where some other landmark is or something? Oh, yeah, I know where that is. Well, let me ask you another question. He hands a track out. Said, do you know how to get to heaven from Jacksonville, Indiana? Or Hymera, or Linton. People cannot get mad at you for that when you've been so friendly to them, and if they're waiting on their tip. Okay, I cannot tell you how many times I've done that. You can't take a lot of time because they're working. And don't take people away from their work, but give them as much testimony as you can. And some of them say, oh, I've been saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. You just say, thank God for it. And where do you go to church? Maybe come down and visit us sometime if it's not a good independent Baptist church. But most of them say, well, no, I don't know. Or I think I know. Or I hope I know. Well, I know. I know how to get there. And you give them the track. And he'll say, young lady, will you promise me one thing? Before you go to bed tonight, will you put this aside and save it? Before you go to sleep, will you take the time and read it from front to back? What are you doing? You want to get the Word of God in their mind. It's got to get in the mind before it can ever get to the heart. That's not that difficult, is it? Any of us can do it. Take time. Take time. Unless you say, this is a priority in my life, you'll have those tracks in your pocket. And you'll go out and you'll meet people and you'll come home and you get in. You know how I know? Been there and done that. And you get ready to undress at night and you think, oh my. I've still got all these here. I haven't given out one track today. Think about it. This is our missions week. What greater mission field do we have than right here? And what better missionaries do we have than you and me? Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing me to share this message. God, our heart breaks over people that we witness to, and sometimes they just flat turn us down, don't even want to take the track. But that doesn't happen very often. Very seldom do I have that happen. Most often people are courteous and take it. And even as I started this off tonight with 1 Corinthians 3, some sow, some water, but you give the increase. God, use each one of us to be a witness, a testimony to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to seek the lost at any cost. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.